Good morning. If I haven't said that to you yet, most of y'all know, my name is Paul Nichols. I'm the associate pastor. I hope you're all safe and warm. If there's anybody who's a guest joining us this morning, we're so glad you're able to do that. But you definitely should check us out in person next week. It's really great. So I do have a few announcements. Like I've been saying, grab the sermon slides. They're in the description of the video. And Kurt Shibby posted some links as well. Pull it up on another device. That'd be very helpful. I'm going to reference it several times throughout the message today. You're not going to want to miss the pictures of teenage Paul either. To our newcomers, thank you so much for being here. We would love to connect with you. Let us know in the chat if you're new, and we'll have somebody reach out. We also have a connection card link that should be getting posted. You can click on that. Let us know you visited us digitally this morning, but we'd love to see you in person next week. So as far as major announcements, the other ones we've got is the family meeting is next Sunday. So this is going to be a really, really big meeting for us. We're going to be doing a groundbreaking ceremony for the new building at 4:30. And then after that is the chili competition. And then after that is the family meeting portion. So it's going to be a really fun Sunday evening. Looking forward to the chili competition. And check links and this week on the journey if you want to sign up for any of that. And hopefully links will be popping up in the chat window as well. And then the women's conference is coming up. That's going to be on March 6th through 7th. It's called Messy Beautiful Friendship. So you have less than a week to lock in the early bird pricing on that. So links should be all in this week on the journey. Everything is in our app, the Church Center app. Everything's on the website. So go sign up for these things. Hopefully links are getting posted in the chat. And then last but not least, if you need a hand during this winter storm, if something comes up that's kind of like beyond the ordinary and you need some help, we have the Helping Hands team, and they're going to try to help folks if they can get out of their own driveways themselves. So reach out to josh@journeybf.com. And hopefully that's not needed, but we want to try to help if we can. I want to start us off with a quick prayer this morning. So wherever you're at, if you could pray with me. Psalm 63 says, "O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked up upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hands." Father, this morning, we want to praise you. Regardless of circumstances, the fact that we can't meet together and that it's cold and some people are without power and some people are struggling and there's a lot going on, Lord, we just know that you're sovereign and we want to praise you. We want to lift up our hands to you. Lord, I want to pray for the various ministries around our city that are serving people through this storm, churches that are acting as shelters and warming stations, things like that. Father, I pray that the gospel would be on full display. Lord, be with the first responders and the linemen working across the country to help folks as they need it. Father, thank you for allowing us to still gather in this way to worship and to study your word. I pray that you would allow us to all safely be back together in person next week. Father, this morning, we confess our sins to you. I pray that everybody is lifting up prayers, asking for forgiveness, repenting of sins. Lord, help us to see the sins that we don't even recognize. Help us to hate them. Lord, we want to serve you, Lord, and to do that, we just need to constantly remember that we need to be in a posture of repentance. Help us fight our sin by the power of your Holy Spirit. Father, please be with me as I preach your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so I'm really excited to be sharing God's word with you today, even if we can't be in person. So we're going to be in Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 to 30 this morning. So if you've got your Bible, your Bible app, flip or swipe over to Philippians chapter 2. We're going to be in verses 19 through 30. The text is also in the sermon slides. That link is in the chat, in the description. You're definitely going to want to have that up too. I want you to remember back, and we'll have a little context as we get into Philippians 2. I want you to think back to our sermon series through the book of Acts. So as you remember, the book of Acts has two major sections. So the first section follows the Apostle Peter and what he's doing in the early church. And then the second half of the book follows the Apostle Paul and his missionary journeys. Apostle Paul goes on three major missionary journeys, and he's spreading the gospel all over the Mediterranean. On his second trip, he ends up in a town called Lystra, and he meets a young man named Timothy. So Timothy at this point is already a believer and has a reputation as a disciple, as somebody who's serious about following Christ, and he actually joins the Apostle Paul's mission team, right? So Timothy begins to travel, helping Paul out on all of his missionary journeys. Later in Acts 16, they plant a church in the city of Philippi. So this is actually pretty neat. It's the first church plant in Europe proper, which is pretty cool. This is around AD 50 to 52. So from there, we're going to fast forward 10-ish years. And now Paul is imprisoned in Rome, and he's writing a letter to encourage the church in Philippi. This is what we now call the book of Philippians. And Timothy, who helped plant Philippi with Paul 10 years earlier, is there with him. So to be clear, we don't think Timothy has been imprisoned alongside Paul, but rather Timothy has been allowed to go and be with Paul and to serve Paul while he is imprisoned. And there's also a guy named Epaphroditus helping Paul out as well. And this is important because Epaphroditus is a member of the Philippian church, and Apostle Paul is going to talk about both of these guys here in our passage this morning. So as we go through the text, we're going to see what we can learn from the Apostle Paul, what we can learn from these two men. And here's what I really want you to focus, what we're really looking out for. First, we're going to see that both of these men really look to seek the interest of others first, that they genuinely care about other people more than themselves. And then also, we're going to see that both of these men had a proven worth, that they were ready and willing to serve, even at great personal cost to them. All right, so I'm going to read the Bible text this morning. If you want to stand where you're at, you're more than welcome to. I'm gonna remain seated so I don't mess up my camera frame. But we're in Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 through 30. This is the ESV. Verse 19. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you, for I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel. I hope therefore to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me. And I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. I have thought it necessary to send Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for you all, and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy and honor such men, for he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. That's Philippians 2, 19 through 30. That's God's word for us today. All right. So if you've got your slides, you've got to pull up these pictures of teenage Paul. It looks like this. So I'm going to have to reference slides every once in a while. This is one. Pull it up. Yeah, I'll get to the pictures. So a little bit of story time. I want to qualify this story with two things. First, I don't like talking about myself. But I'm only doing it because I think it really does underpin one of the points of the message I'm trying to make. Two, nothing I say is to give glory to me. Nothing I say is to say, oh, look at Paul, look how great he is, or the things he done. No, everything I do is to give glory to God. It's to highlight what he can do in somebody's life when somebody fully surrenders to him. So please keep both of those things in mind as I share this story. So I didn't really grow up in the church very much. And at the age of 16, I got invited to a youth event and I became a believer. It was a See You at the Pole at 2005. And after that, I started going to a church called Calvary Baptist Church. It's my home church in Henderson, Texas. And I just started reading and studying the word as much as I could. I was going to church on Sundays. I was plugged into the youth group. I was going to Bible studies. My youth pastor made his money's worth answering all my Bible questions as a teenager. And I did that for months and months and months. That's just where I lived, was digging into God's word. Because becoming a believer at 16, I felt like I was having to catch up to all my friends who had been following Christ for years and years and years, that I was lacking in my knowledge and in my service. And then that following summer, I'm 17 years old. I go to the first church camp ever, which was a crazy experience. And at the end of that, I surrendered to vocational ministry. And what that means is I felt like God was calling me to be a pastor and that I was going to do my best to follow that calling in my life. And you fast forward a few months later and you see Apostle Paul in his letterman jacket. And that's me preaching the gospel at CU at the Pole 2006. So this is 1 year after Christ saved me, I'm preaching the same event, which is pretty incredible. And I'm very thankful for the work the Lord has been doing in my life. And so after that, I start serving as much as I can. I am a third grade boys Sunday school teacher. And what makes me feel incredibly old is that third grade boys Sunday school class, most of those guys have already graduated college and are starting their families. And then, I'm helping with kids camp. I'm volunteering for VBS. Anytime I can get preaching or teaching reps, I'm taking them, whether it's with Journey or with the students on Wednesday nights, doing Sunday night sermons at the church. I was even doing pulpit fill at small country churches in the area. Just any opportunity I had to serve, and to preach, to teach, I was doing it. I was doing my best to live out the gospel. And then fast forward a little bit, comes to 2010. And that's our second picture. That's possible. That's me as an intern at Calvary Baptist Church, Henderson, Texas. There's beardless Paul. If y'all notice the girl in the foreground, that's Brittany Lingle. That's our missionary to Thailand. She was Brittany Brooks at the time, and it was really cool that we got to serve as interns together. And now we get to support her and her husband Brandon as missionaries in Thailand, which is great. But in 2010, I began to serve as an intern at my home church. So I'm going to fast forward a little bit. I moved to Arkansas. I finished my Bible degree there. I meet my wife. I get married. I start my family. And I start serving full-time as a youth pastor in Arkansas at a church called Park Hill Baptist Church. We'll talk about that more later. Fast forward to 2017. I've been serving in ministry for years. My home church gives me a call. It says, Paul, we're going through a youth pastor transition. We've got a big youth event. We've got Disciple Now weekend happening. Can you come down and just kind of like stand in as a youth pastor for us? Help us get through this event, be able to talk with the kids, encourage the small group leaders, and we need you to preach the message on Sunday morning. And so I got to do that because I had this proven track record of living out the gospel with my home church. Years and years and years of serving. I became a believer. I was baptized. I was discipled. I was an intern. I was helped preach all the different things that when they had a need that they were able to reach out and said, man, Paul has a proven worth. He can come in and help us pull off this event, even though we don't have the staff to do it right now. And I was so grateful to get to do that, get to preach that. That was back in 2017. So about a year before I started working at the Journey, and it was great. And I thank the Lord that I had the opportunity to do that. And it only really happened. It was because I had a proven worth that Calvary knew about firsthand. And what we're going to look at today in our text, in these two sections of text, we have two paragraphs. One is about Timothy, one is about Epaphroditus. And we're going to see that both of these guys, but more pointedly Timothy, had this proven worth to the church in Philippi and to Paul. And because of that, he is going to be able to send him out to do ministry work. So I want you to look for that as we go through the sermon today. So I'm going to be honest. When I was first assigned this text by Pastor Kurt, this Philippians 2, 19 through 30, I went and read these verses in a vacuum, right, with no context around them. And I was like, I have no idea what I'm going to do with this text. It's about like two quick notes on two dudes that are hanging out with Paul. And so what I did is I stopped and I started to pray about it. And I went back and I just reread the book of Philippians, which isn't as impressive as it sounds. It's just a few chapters. And then I began to see how my text fits into the bigger picture of the book, right? And that really helped me hone in on these two ideas of serving and having proven worth. These ideas we're going to be pulling out in more detail. But I think what was key to seeing this is rooted in something the Apostle Paul said just a few verses earlier in chapter 2. So let's look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. If you've got the slides, you can pull those up real quick and look at them. It should be slide number 7. I'm going to try to post this first in the chat real quick and see how that goes. No idea if that's going to work. But let's read it together. It says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. All right, so just a few verses earlier, we see Paul encouraging the church in Philippi to be of one mind, to be unified, to be humble like Christ. And then we get this like unbelievably theologically rich passage, probably one of the most densest theologically rich passages in all the Bible about the nature of Christ and his humility. And so the question that hit me was, why would Paul follow that up with two seemingly random paragraphs about Timothy and Epaphroditus? And I think what he's trying to do is give the Philippian church two real-life examples of what it looks like to live out the gospel in everyday life. Two examples of men that they know personally. Remember, Timothy helped plant that church, and Epaphroditus is a member of that church. So these two men are living examples. These two men are living examples of what it means to be humble and to put the interests of others first. So with that in mind, let's jump into our text. Philippians 2, we're going to look at verses 19 to 24. To begin with, those slides have a black background and some color-coded verses. You definitely want to pull that up because I'm going to be referencing it. It's very important. I changed the background color so we could see a little bit easier. But what I'm trying to show you there with these paralleling lines is a literary structure that the Apostle Paul is using to draw an emphasis at the center of his text. So this is a really common literary device. It's called a chiasm or a chiastic structure. And whatever's at the middle of all these parallels, that is like the main point of the passage. So in red, you're going to see the Apostle Paul books in this little paragraph about Timothy with hope in the Lord and trust in the Lord. You ever heard the old adage, Lord willing and the creek don't rise? That's the kind of the idea here. Like, as long as nothing crazy happens, this is what I hope to do, Lord willing, right? So the Apostle Paul, even as something as saying, simple as saying, hey, I'll hope to send my friend to help you out. Like, even that, he's submitting to God's will. Like, he's placing his plans under the will of God. Now, that's not the main point of our passage today, but I think it's a really great reminder for us that, man, we can seek the Lord, we can make plans, we trust in him, let him guide our steps. But ultimately, if he wants to change our plans, then that's for the best. And we need to submit our plan and our will to God's will. So that's in red. That's bookending our paragraph, our pericope. And then you step in blue and you see what the plan is, that he's going to send Timothy to the Philippian church. So Lord willing, Paul wants to send Timothy to help the church, to encourage that church, and then for Timothy to come back to him with news of the Philippian church. Remember, in the ancient world, news traveled very slow, and sometimes you had to send people out to get that news and brought back to you. So that's what the Apostle Paul wants to do with Timothy. And in green, we see why Timothy is chosen to pull off this plan. Right? So, genuinely concerned for your welfare. So the Apostle Paul is pointing out that Timothy is someone who actually genuinely cares for people, right? He has a proven worth both to the church in Philippi and to Paul himself. So we have this proven worth and we have this genuinely concerned for your welfare there in verses 20 and 22 respectively. And now these are at the center of our chiasm, because in 21, we see, for they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. So like what Timothy is living out is not the norm. All right. So remember, two real life examples of men that Paul is using to punctuate his plea that he made earlier in the chapter, right? Earlier in chapter 2, he was telling the church that we need to be humble like Christ. And humility means putting others first, or as Kurt put it last week, humility is others focused. If you missed the sermon last week, highly encourage you to go back and read it. It adds a lot of context to the message. This one really builds off of that. So I begin to ask myself these questions. Okay, so how do we put the others' interests ahead of our own? Like, how do we do this? How are we supposed to be humble like this? How do we genuinely care for others like Timothy does? And I have a few thoughts. If you've got it pulled up, look at verse 9. The first thing that I think we should do is we need to have our minds transformed by the gospel, right? The very way we understand and perceive the world needs to be through the lens of scripture, right? We need to be born again believers, saturated in the word of God and dedicated to living it out, right? If you look back at earlier in Philippians, three times in just a few verses, the very beginning of Philippians 2, the Apostle Paul calls us to have a Christ-like mind, all right? We need to have a mind that cares for others, a mind that is kingdom-focused, a mind that is not self-focused, as Kurt talked about last week. So I want to ask you a question. Is your mind being transformed daily by the Word of God? Are you allowing your mind to be transformed by the gospel? And this isn't something that happens overnight. This is a part of our ongoing sanctification. This is a daily thing we are striving for. Now, the other thing we can do that I think will help us put others first, to genuinely care about others more than ourselves, we have to have our minds transformed by the gospel. And the second thing is we need to see people the way Christ does. So every human being is made in the image of God and has intrinsic worth. I want to say that again. Every human being is made in the image of God and has intrinsic worth. Doesn't matter where they're from. Doesn't matter what their religion is. Doesn't matter what their culture is. Doesn't matter when or where in history they're from. They have intrinsic worth and are made in the image of God. They are someone deeply loved by the Father and someone Christ died to save. We have to view every single human being on the planet as someone that Christ died to save. He loves them and he gave his life for them. Now, when it comes to caring for the lost, we have to understand something, and this is going to really radically change the way you view people, because if we read the scriptures and we see if somebody dies without Christ, that means eternal separation from the Father. That's what awaits them. And we have to recognize that and realize we have the remedy for that problem, right? We have the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can go and we can tell them that Jesus Christ came and took on flesh, and he lived a perfect life and died on the cross, sinless for you and for me. And 3 days later, he rose from the dead, conquering sin and death. And that if we put our faith in Christ and we repent of our sins and make him Lord of our lives, that he will save us and change everything. Like, we have to get the gospel to the world. That's our job. The Great Commission is for all of us. We have to, if we want to learn to put others first, we have to recognize when somebody doesn't know Jesus, and that has to change the way we interact with them because we want to give them the gospel. Now, caring for others doesn't just mean evangelism to the lost, but it also means taking care of our brothers and sisters in Christ. So when it comes to our brothers and sisters in Christ, we see them as family, and you take care of family, right? They are conquerors and co-heirs in Christ with us. We're all in the same boat. All of us were sinners. All of us were lost. All of us needed the grace of God. And because of the mercy of God and Jesus Christ, we've been adopted into the family. So we have to see people that way. We have to have our minds transformed by the gospel. We have to see people the way Jesus does, right? People who need a Savior, we need to see them like our own family when they have joined the family of God. Now, I think both of these things are predicated on you being a believer yourself, right? That you've been born again, you have an indwelling Holy Spirit enabling you to do all of this. You cannot do it well on your own. All right, so slide number 10. Do you genuinely care about other people? Is that a quality somebody would say about you? Oh yeah, such and such. Oh yeah, they're such a caring person. This is how they've cared for my family. Like, do people speak about you in those terms, like the Apostle Paul speaks about Timothy? Now, this is hard. Genuinely caring about other people. Like, and I think it's something that we're called to work on. I genuinely, fervently believe that this is a spiritual discipline that we pursue, and it's not some innate quality that you have, right? I think this is something that we can grow in as we grow in Christ, our ability to care for others more than ourselves. Now, this is a hard thing to do because it means it takes your time, it takes your energy, it makes you vulnerable, but it's absolutely worth it in what we're called to do as Christians. So I think there's three things we can do to help us care for others in real practical terms. And I think the first one is that we need to begin praying for a humble heart. If you feel like you're struggling to really care for other people, pray for a humble heart. Pray for eyes to see people like Christ. Take it to the Lord in prayer. That's where it always starts. Second, like I said earlier, we have to have our minds transformed by the gospel. That means we need to get into the Word daily. Read it, pray through it, study it, meditate on it, discuss it, share it, like get in the word. This needs to be what's shaping your entire worldview. The Apostle Paul in Romans 12:2 says that we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, right? So this starts with the word of God and with prayer. And then finally, if you want to start practicing, if you want to start working on getting better, the spiritual discipline of caring for others, I need you to start with one person. I'm not asking you to change the world. I'm not asking you to shepherd a church. I'm not asking you to start a small group. I'm asking you to ask the Lord for one person, to put one person on your heart that needs connection, that needs prayer, that needs someone to walk alongside them, someone to help disciple them, and start serving that one person. Nothing fosters a humble heart like lowering yourself and serving others. That's what I would encourage you to do. Now, for some of you, this really isn't a question. You care deeply. You care for people super well. Like, you're crushing it. Thank you. Continue being a great example of this. And you can always get better at this, right? You're never going to arrive at caring for others perfectly, right? We can always be better at it. But I think for some of us, it's not a matter of our heart or our ability to care for others, but I think there's a lot of people in the church who don't have the time or energy needed that they can really devote to caring for others. That your calendar is so full, you don't have time to care for other people. Some of us need to kind of purge our calendars before we can really hope to really care for people. Now, that's a whole nother sermon that I don't have time for, but let's press on. So we looked at this idea of genuinely caring for other people. We see this quality in Timothy and Epaphroditus. And now we're going to look at this idea of proven worth that we see with Timothy there. The second reason Timothy is being sent to Philippi is because of this proven worth both to Paul and the Philippians. So Timothy has served as a missionary and a co-laborer with Christ for over a decade at this point. He helped plant the church in Philippi. Timothy has years upon years of faithful service acting as a witness to his character and his competency. Now, I shared briefly my own story of having a proven worth being able to go and help my home church back in 2017 with that youth event. I don't say any of that to make much of me, because if you knew who Paul was at the beginning of that story before Christ and the work he did in my heart and in my life up to the point where I could come back and preach the gospel to the church where I was saved, like, you would just give all the glory and all the honor to God. Paul trusts Timothy to go and to do this job well. He's delegating it out. He's sending him out. He can't go himself. He's imprisoned. And this isn't the first or the last time the Apostle Paul is going to trust Timothy. Timothy's going to continue to have a proven worth. Actually, he's going to go on Paul's next missionary journey later on in Acts. And he also is going to end up being one of the pastors in the church of Ephesus when Paul appoints him there. As believers, I think we're all called to fulfill the Great Commission and to serve the body. I think there's going to be times in your life where a need is presented and an opportunity given for you to go and to serve others. And the question is will you have the humility to go and to serve? And will you have a proven worth? Will you be trusted to do the ministry work that needs doing? Now, I am so grateful that so many of you at the church do have a proven worth. This is a church body that serves, right? We have an amazing group of volunteers. I've never served at a church with such a high percentage of people who serve and volunteer. When there's a need, this church rises to the occasion and meets that need. And I thought about giving individual examples at this point in the sermon, like calling out different church members who I see doing this well. And I decided not to do that because I kept thinking of more and more people. And I was afraid I was going to leave somebody out. And I was like, it would take too much time to recognize the people in the church that do this well. And the other reason I'm not going to share it is because I think the vast majority of those people would not want the attention because of their humility. And so I don't want to do that to them. I don't want to call them out because they're serving well and they're humble. And I'm going to continue to let them be humble. But we are truly blessed by those. I think it's an impressive testimony to the work the Holy Spirit is doing in our church. I really do. But the question I have for everybody, because just like growing in humility and caring for others, I think we can always be working on our proven worth, is do you have a proven worth and are you growing in it? Is that a thing in your life that you see? Our church has these ideas of gather, connect, serve, and go. I think those are four great ways to start building this proven worth. And it's a process. And not everybody grows at the same rate. It's definitely not always linear up and to the right. And It's tough and it can be messy, this proven worth. It takes time and you're going to make mistakes and you're going to fail. And I want to say this, there are no shortcuts in proven worth. This is something that's done slowly over time. Now, I've been in ministry for a while, and a red flag for me is when someone who seeks leadership without proven worth, right? I've had people come up to me and talk about how they want to preach the gospel and shepherd the flock of God. And I say, well, let's start with just gathering faithfully. How about you just commit to being here before we jump to preaching? Or, oh, you want to launch a brand new ministry? Well, we have a lot of ministries right now. Are you serving in any of those currently? Are you supporting any of our existing ministries? Or is it creating your own ministry or bust for you? Serving on the worship team and leading worship teams, this is a big one, man. I have people all the time that they want to help lead others in worship. They want to be on the stage, but they're not willing to serve if they're not in the limelight. That's a huge red flag for me. You need to have proven worth, and this is built up over time. This is something we need to reflect on in our own lives, how we continue to grow in proven worth, and maybe try to avoid having those red flag ideas of trying to do something way beyond without being faithful in the little things first. So we're going to look at our other example of a man living out the gospel, being humble, seeking others, having a proven worth, and that is Epaphroditus. Now, normally this is where I'd make a stupid joke about Epaphroditus being a good baby name. I'm not going to do that this morning because it's not a good baby name. Epaphroditus means belonging to Aphrodite, which is a Greek god. So not a good name for anybody trying to figure out a baby name. So he was likely born into a pagan home and then later converted to Christianity, which is a pretty cool testimony. So Epaphroditus, like Timothy, is living out the gospel. If you want to see the text about him that we read earlier, it's going to be in verses 25 through 30. So he's living out the gospel. So he took it upon himself to travel from Philippi to deliver supplies to the Apostle Paul in Rome in jail. On this journey, he gets so sick, he almost dies. We don't know what the sickness was, but it nearly killed him. But he is a man that cared so deeply about others that he is distressed about the people back home hearing that he was ill and about to die. He's not worried about the fact that he was ill or the fact that he was about to die. He was worried about other people worrying about him. Like, let that sink in. I'm going to read it. Verse 26, for he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Man, that is caring for other people. He took it upon himself to take this dangerous journey, and all travel back then was dangerous, from Philippi to Rome, where he could bring these supplies much needed to Paul, and he almost dies. Now, what's really cool, we don't know this for a fact, but we can kind of connect some logical dots, that the Apostle Paul is under arrest. He can't get the supplies he needs. He can't get the funds he needs, and he needs people to come and help them. And it's quite possible that he brings the supplies that the Apostle Paul uses to write the letter of Philippians and other letters that end up in our Bible, right? And then the plan is for him to take the letter that Paul writes to the Philippian church and for him to carry that letter back and hand deliver it to his home church in Philippi. So think about this. This man had a proven worth and humility to go on this journey and to serve. And because of that, he most likely got to hand deliver the word of God to his own home church. How cool is that? And it's quite possible because of his faithfulness that we have other letters Paul wrote while imprisoned. Again, logical dots were connecting, but something as simple as saying, yeah, I'll go on that journey. I'll take that trip. I can take a care package to Paul in Rome. It wasn't preaching the gospel to the masses. It was delivering a package. And God used it to do amazing things. We're talking about it today, 2,000 years later. Now, Epaphroditus' story reminds me of Jerry Schleiff. Now, I've shared a little bit with y'all before. I've used him as a sermon illustration before, and I think it bears repeating. But hear me out. Jerry Schleiff was a career missionary and pastor with the Southern Baptist Convention before retiring to Arkadelphia, Arkansas, and serving at Park Hill Baptist Church, which was my first church full-time after college. Now, Jerry served faithfully at the church, as well as ministering to the international students, missionary kids at Wachita Baptist, my alma mater, alongside his wife. That was their ministry, was taking care of those kids who were away from their homes while they were going to school. And then towards the end of my time there, Jerry had to go on dialysis. And the nearest clinic was a 45-minute drive away. from our small town. So the church set up a carpool to help get him there. And I signed up for that carpool. Anytime I had the freedom to do it, I wanted to be able to help Jerry because he'd done so much for the church. By the time Jerry passed away, there was not an employee or a regular person at that clinic that wasn't prayed for and had heard the gospel from him firsthand. Every single person. Every time I was able to drive him, he spent that 45-minute time drive investing in me, to pray for me, to ask about my young family, to give me advice and feedback on my latest sermon. This man is slowly dying in the seat next to me, and he cared enough to invest in me, to pray for me. We need more Christians like Jerry's life. Christians who, like Timothy and Epaphroditus, are living out Christ-like humility, genuinely caring for other people more than themselves. Now, as you read further in the text, you're going to see that the Lord was merciful and heals Epaphroditus. And now Paul wants to send them back to Philippi so that they'd be less anxious and that they would rejoice and celebrate him so that they could honor him. And I hope by sharing a little bit of Jerry's story that I was honoring his legacy as a pastor, as a missionary, as a man of God. So let's look at the last few verses, 28 through 30. Got one more major point to pull out. Here's Paul sitting in a prison cell, and he's thinking of others. He has two guys that have come to serve him, Timothy and Epaphroditus. And now he's trying to figure out the best and quick way to get them both back out there serving other people. The Apostle Paul had a heart for others. He cared more about the church in Philippi than himself, even though he's sitting in a Roman jail. Paul had a kingdom-first mindset. He could have kept Timothy and Epaphroditus there to help him in his imprisonment. That would have been completely reasonable. But he opts to send them out. Paul, like the two men he's writing about, is living out Christ-like humility. He's in jail, but he's more worried about others. He's writing them letters, and he's sending out what little support he has to minister to them because he can't go himself, because he's stuck there, imprisoned, waiting to hear what's going to happen to him. So there's no band to call back up at this point. I do hope you get a chance to listen to some good worship music later today if you get a chance. But I do want us to reflect on a few things, to think on a few things. Man, do I genuinely care for other people? How can I work on that spiritual discipline? Right? Do I need to be in prayer more? Do I need to be in the Word more? Who's that one person I can serve? Man, are you faithfully living out the gospel? Are you ready and humble enough to serve where you're needed? Man, take that all to the Lord in prayer. Man, please know you don't have to do any of this alone. The elders want to walk alongside you. Your small group leaders want to walk alongside you. Your small group people. We're not doing this in a vacuum, right? We're doing this in community. Everyone can grow in humility. Everybody can grow in caring for others. Everybody can grow in having a proven worth so that when we have opportunities to advance the gospel, we're ready, trained, and equipped, humble, and ready to get after it. So I want to pray for us one more time in our time together, and I've got a little bit more for us. Let's pray. Father, help us be humble like Christ. Help us to constantly remember the humility Christ took on by taking on flesh, coming to this earth, and dying a death on a cross for us. Help us be humble like Christ. Help us to put on that mind. Help us to be saturated in the Word of God daily, to be transformed by your gospel. Lord, help us to genuinely care for others more than ourselves. Help us grow in proven worth. Lord, we love you and we trust you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So we're going to log off the live stream in a few minutes. And I just encourage you, take a few minutes to pray about this on your own.